It is, today is 16 January, it's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the Sunday CG Report. Periods of darkness. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. We got some visitors here today. We've got John, Diane, and Michelle. John and Diane are from Colorado, and then Michelle is from California, and they're visiting Sarasota right now. And John, I got to spend more time with him than I think I've ever taken off on a Friday in my life. We spent almost the whole day together, and the reason why is because they stayed up by the airport, and it's about a 45-minute drive, and then it's 45 minutes back, so I had him with me. And then I drove him back later, which another 45 minutes. And so that plus going to Spanish Point and going out to lunch. And we had a whole day. Plus he stayed while I fed my dogs, because there's a point where you have to go home and do that when you got 7 dogs. So I had a great time. I hope you did. But he said I talked his head off, and I apologize about that. You get me to Spanish Point, and I'm telling you, I love the place. I love being there. I love telling people about what Florida used to be like and how things work. And he now knows how to build an island. So it's something that you will learn if you ever go to Spanish Point with me. He knows how to do that. So we've got them visiting, and they're going to be leaving right after church, and they're going to be driving north in Florida, and then eventually they'll get up to where they're going, and then heading back this week sometime to go back home. Right? Okay. So then we also have Russell, who is visiting from Delaware. Okay, he was here last year, and while he's here, he's spending his time at the projects on Saturday with us doing mission work, which is always a blessing. He showed up this week for Bible class, and he walks, and he's like, I'll be there Saturday morning. But today he brought his neighbor, Carl. So it's wonderful to have you here, sir. Real pleasure. And let's see here. One more thing happened. They walked in, and I try to tell people this, and they may not have heard this, and I don't want to embarrass them, but if you come to visit Sarasota and you let me know in advance, it's a great help, because that way I can plan a week and maybe get some time with you. But thankfully, they are staying the weekend ahead instead of the week behind, because on Sundays, I have to run out of here like a little bunny rabbit. I still have another 6 hours of work to do on Sundays, but they'll be here this week, and so we'll get together. And it is George and Liz Bentram. Okay, see, that's my bad handwriting. I'm sorry about that, but they are here from... It's not Harrisburg, it's Harrisonburg, Pennsylvania. I thought, oh, I've been there. And then they added a son in the middle, and I was like, I've never been there. So it's wonderful to have you guys here. Thank you very much for making this effort. Okay, so we have, I got somebody raising their, oh, who's that? We got somebody else back there. I didn't even see you.
Hello, I'm Kevin, and this is Julie from Minnesota.
Kevin and Julie from Minnesota. I didn't even see you come in. So there you are. Are you going to be here for the week?
We're actually here, yeah.
Okay, good, good. Well, before you get doing anything later, I'll give you my card, and then maybe we can get together or something. Okay, wonderful. It's good to have you here. Give me your names again.
Kevin and Julie Leach.
Kevin and Julie Leach. Okay, wonderful to have you here. All right, so we have Manchin. I've talked about him a couple times, haven't I? I'm not favorable towards Democrats in any way, shape, or form. You know that. They're not my best friends in the world, but we have one Democrat, and actually two now, but yes, one in particular that have actually saved this nation from going into real chaos in the future. I'm talking about real chaos, and his name is Manchin, okay? And because I thought it was worthy of him what he has been doing, I emailed him, and I wanted to read you what I said. And if you want to support him in this way, not vote for him, because until he comes over the aisle, don't do that. But, Senator, I am a pastor in Sarasota, Florida. I am not, nor would I consider being, a Democrat. But I did something this past week on our weekly live stream and recorded video that I never thought I would do. I complimented you and gave you credit for being the sole person who has, to this point, saved this nation from total ruin. Because this is true. If they get rid of the filibuster, we're going to have things run through that you can't believe, etc. So he is really saving us over the next year until the Republicans win and take over both houses of Congress. He is the only thing. And now Sinema. Okay, however you pronounce her name, she is also starting to go in this direction. And she has in the past, but she kind of has been back and forth. Manchin has not. He's been very good about this. So what is being done to this country is nothing I would ever have thought possible. When I joined the United States Air Force in 1984, they showed us these cheesy videos about what the goals of communism were and how they would use them to destroy this nation. I laughed. That will never happen. They have all happened, all of them. I wish I had a copy of them to show others what I had to watch. Apparently, you are seeing this. If not, I don't know why you are doing what you are doing. But as long as you continue to do it, the people of this nation will be blessed. As long as you continue to conduct yourself in the manner you have, the nation will hold off an otherwise rushing tide of unhappiness. I commend you. And lastly, I have been too long already. As it is your obligation to serve this nation, it is my obligation to serve Jesus Christ. I would ask you to read 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Your Bible is waiting for you to read it and believe what it says. This is the hope of mankind that goes beyond whatever happens to this nation, be it good or ill. Thank you, sir. I gave him my name, the church, and he can respond if he wants. But I'm very appreciative of his efforts, and if you want to compliment him, you can email him. Sometimes you go to people's sites, and you have to be within their district, and you have to give your zip code, and you can't, you know, do something otherwise. But he allows anybody to email him, and so I encourage you to do so. Okay, we got some news from Israel today. From the JC, publisher removes children's book that erases Israel after legal challenge. Good job. The UK publisher of a children's book that deleted Israel from the Middle East has pulled the book from its website following a legal challenge. UK lawyers for Israel warned Piku Publishing the book called Amazing Women of the Middle East, 25 stories from ancient times to present day, could be in breach of education laws if used as a teaching aid in schools because it featured no Israeli women and had erased Israel from a map of the region. Now, this is the UK. They have laws about this type of thing, and they challenged it, and they did take it down. It tells the stories of 25 extraordinary Middle East women across history, from Egyptian queen Nefertiti to international lawyer Amal Clooney. If you go through the pages, you can see one after another Palestinian lady in there. Some of them are martyrs even, I believe, and they're highlighting them as famous women of the Middle East, but none of them are Israeli. It also features a brightly illustrated map of the region that erases Israel. The country is instead marked Palestine, with various neighboring countries such as Jordan, Egypt, and Lebanon clearly labeled. The book, which is marketed to children over the age of 9, is listed on a web page marked Teachers Resources on the publisher's website. And they missed out on Jezebel on that one. From the Times of Israel, UAE, four others join powerful UN Security Council. This means that they have voting rights for a certain amount of time, and we know that the UAE is favorable towards Israel, and so this may affect something that comes up in the next few months. The United Nations Security Council got five new members as Albania, Brazil, which is pro-Israel, Gabon, Ghana, and the UAE formally took up the posts. Israel has expressed new hope that the new makeup of the UN body will be more favorable than its outgoing composition. The 15-member council is UN's most powerful body. China, France, Russia, the UK, and the US are permanent members with veto power. The rest of them are rotating members. I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I believe that Albania is also kind of pro-Israel. I got a head shaking yes, so my brain is working properly. Okay, from the Times of Israel, Israel expects to establish ties with Comoros and the Maldives next. Comoros is kind of in the Indian Ocean, closer to India, and then the Maldives are kind of in the same area, but more towards Africa. And if you go online and look at pictures of them, they are beautiful places, especially Comoros. I mean, that was just, I couldn't believe how beautiful that place is. So let's see here. The leading candidates to normalize ties with Israel next are the Muslim-majority island nations of the Comoros and Maldives. The sources said there were ongoing contacts. However, there were no indications from the diplomatic sources that an announcement was expected anytime in the near future. The Comoros, a small archipelago in the Indian Ocean, has never recognized Israel. But Israeli officials confirmed last October that the U.S. had brought Comorian and Israeli officials together to discuss normalization. The country initiated the Hague's six-year engagement with the Gaza flotilla incident in May 2013. That caused a lot of stir against Israel and the world, and they initiated it, but it seems like things are getting settled between them when it asked the ICC prosecutor to investigate the Israeli raid on the Gaza-bound Mavi Marmara 3 years earlier, during which troops clashed with pro-Palestinian activists. The Maldives, on the other hand, once did have diplomatic ties with Israel. Israel was the third state to recognize the island republic, and the Israeli ambassador was the first to present his credentials to the Maldives president. However, diplomatic relations were suspended in 1974. Now they're working on getting that back again. Good stuff. From the Times of Israel, IDF releases photos from downed drone. This is just like a comedy here, showing alleged Hezbollah operatives. It was their drone, and they were taking pictures of themselves. And so now they have all the information they need to blow these guys up if they ever want to. Yes, the IDF says that drones captured after being flown across the frontier from neighboring Lebanon have provided insight into the growing aerial surveillance capabilities of the Iran-backed Hezbollah terror group. Lebanon and Israel are technically in a state of war, and drones have become a regular feature of their heavily guarded border. Images extracted from one drone downed in August showed what the IDF said were Hezbollah drone operators and pictures of other drones, as well as an aerial shot of a northern Israeli community and military post. An Israeli security source speaking on condition of anonymity said he believed the footage showed Hezbollah special forces training in how to use drones, which they're obviously not doing very well if they're losing them all, which he said was the first such glimpse for Israel. A second source said that five drones seized last year, including a small observation drone, belonged to Hezbollah. "We are learning about the enemy and the enemy is learning about us," said the second source, also speaking on a condition of anonymity. It is kind of a learning race between Hezbollah and us. Israel is a leader in developing and using drones in warfare, but it is seeing its technological superiority challenged by arch foe Iran, which is also developing unmanned aerial vehicles for military use. And if Iran has them, Hezbollah is going to get them. Having said that, and before we go on to our next category, yesterday, I was reading an article in Zero Hedge, and we had, smugglers or narco people or something down in South America. And they had a drone, and they actually were dropping bombs on their enemies in these camps down there in this area, and they were hitting them. All of the enemies ran out, and then they completely wiped out the entire camp. It just exploded like five or six bombs. So it was rather amazing to see that people are inventing their own little drone stuff now. But as soon as they dropped their bombs, blew up the camp, the drone went into a spin and it just spun all the way to the ground. And I don't know who got it, but somebody got it and they got that footage. It was unbelievable to watch. Just some drug people bombing, using drones to bomb other people. It was incredible. Okay. We got some news from Christianity Today from NTD. You've probably heard this. If you haven't, it's time for you to think about your giving to Christian organizations like this one. Focus on the Family to implement OSHA mandate. In a letter to its workers, Focus on the Family says it will comply with Biden's vaccinate or test requirement. But enforcing the mandate could cost the organization and radio broadcast tens of thousands of dollars because some donors say they're willing to take their money elsewhere if this mandate is enforced. And it already has. People are already up in arms over it. They're going to lose a lot of people. Exactly. But they still are going to go through with it, which is insane.
Yes.
Crazy. From GB News, Archbishop of Canterbury urges people to have COVID jabs to look after their neighbors. Yeah, imagine that. If I want to look after my neighbor, I'm going to take the shot and shoot my neighbor. How's that? I'm not going to get the shot. GB News again. Pope says getting vaccinated is a moral obligation and refusing is suicidal. Okay, Zero Hedge. Pope Francis says people who choose pets over kids are selfish amid global population crash. This guy gets into the most bizarre things. He is the most bizarre person maybe on this planet. Well, besides me, I understand. Okay. All right. The Pope's comments follow his December warning of a demographic winter amid fears the global fertility rate will have halved by the next century. These people are always talking about limiting population, and now he's saying you got to go make more babies. He's just... Today we see a form of selfishness. We see that some people do not want to have a child. Sometimes they have one and that's it. But they have dogs and cats that take the place of children. Well, I have seven of them, so he can go. He's not invited to my house, I'll tell you that. You know what? You know what happened on Friday? This has never happened before. I have seven dogs and they never bite anybody except one of them bites me. She's a bad dog and I won't allow her around me. But nobody ever gets bit by my dogs, especially Mary, the most wonderful little dog on the planet. She's the one that ends every prophecy update. Mary's up there and she says something, okay? She bit John. Yeah, he turned around and pointed at her like, you're going to die, little girl. Yeah, I'd never seen that before, but I think it was because he's just got such a great presence that she was so excited that dogs will nip when they really love somebody. So that's probably what happened. I'm saving my dog's life from being euthanated. Okay. All right. Sometimes they have one and that's it, but they have dogs and cats that take the place of children. The practice, said the leader of the world's 1.3 billion Catholics, is a denial of fatherhood and motherhood and diminishes us, takes away our humanity. Thus, civilization grows old without humanity because we lose the richness of fatherhood and motherhood, and it is the country that suffers. And, you know, he just goes on and on like this in this article. But I can tell you this is not true because when I come home, I always say, there's my little babies. Okay? So there you go. Babies imply fatherhood, motherhood. And nobody got that. Okay, never mind. I love my babies. Okay, but we do have two children, just so you know. I met part of his expectations, I guess. I didn't have 20 of them, but... Okay, from Palestinian News Watch, new Canadian law will officially describe parts of the Bible as myth. Yes, with the passage of Bill C-4, which is like C-4 plastic, it's explosive, so is this. It's the conversion therapy ban. There is a great deal of concern among Canadian churches. Has the Trudeau government put a law on the books that effectively criminalizes Christianity, which is exactly what they want to do? Yes. According to some prominent clergy in this country, the answer is shockingly yes. In a letter published by Liberty Coalition Canada, a group of evangelical pastors comments, this bill's wording is sufficiently broad to allow for the criminal prosecution of Christians who would speak biblical truth into the lives of those in bondage to sexual sins like homosexuality and transgenderism. Even a mother or father who offers their children freedom from sexual sin through repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ could be threatened with 5 years in jail. The letter continues with a rebuke of members of parliament who unanimously rushed Bill C-4 through the House of Commons last month without any debate or public input. This is how they do these things. It's just like the Democrats in this nation. According to Bill C-4, gender is defined as a myth under Canadian law. The promotion and sharing of this biblical teaching will be a jailable offense that officially causes harm to society. CLC has been warning about the insidious danger of Bill C-4, formerly Bills C-6, C-8, and S-202, for 2 years through our Stop the Ban campaign. The LGBT lobby, in bed with the mainstream media and Trudeau liberals, has mounted a direct attack on the very foundation of the pro-family movement, the Word of God, which gives us God's plan for marriage and family. This attack not only puts faithful clergy and counselors at risk of fines and imprisonment, it puts good parents in jeopardy as well. And don't think this isn't true, because we have somebody that attends this church online in Canada who has a child that has made that decision, and he can do nothing about it. Nothing. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today. From the Times of Israel, World Bank approves $90 million in pandemic aid for Iran. International lender says financing will only be used for medical equipment. Well, guess what? That's fine. Even if they only use it for medical equipment, it frees up $90 million over here that they can blow people up with. That's all it does. From the Jerusalem Post, U.S. reduces Iran's sanctions threat from any violation to 90% enrichment. They are going to allow up to 90% enrichment, which means they're like 18 minutes away from building a bomb at that point. The U.S. wants to use snapback sanctions to deter Iran from enriching weapons-grade uranium, a mechanism that was meant to be used in response to any violation of the 2015 nuclear deal. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told Israelis that he saw snapback sanctions as a possible way to stop Iran from enriching uranium to 90% purity. An Israeli diplomatic source said, snapback was a UNSC resolution passed in tandem with the JCPOA nuclear deal with Iran, which stated that any party to the deal can trigger UNSC sanctions, which are binding on all member states, if Tehran violates the agreement in any way. That agreement limited Iran's uranium enrichment to 5%, but the Islamic Republic has enriched it to 60% in the past year, among other JCPOA violations. The U.S. under President Trump left the Iran deal in 2018, very wisely, by the way, but asked the UNSC to snap back sanctions in 2020 due to Iranian violations. The other members of the UNSC voted that the U.S. did not have authority to do so because it had abandoned the JCPOA. But that's why we left it, is because these other nations wouldn't have done it anyway. And so they proved it by not doing it when he asked them to do it. Israeli officials told Sullivan that they think that parties to the JCPOA should threaten snapback sanctions if the Vienna talks do not come to fruition. Threatening snapback only in the case of 90% enrichment is a downgrade in what the current admin in Washington had previously said. A big downgrade, by the way. Last year, snapback was mentioned as a way to encourage Iran to agree to a longer and stronger version of the JCPOA, and then as something that may happen if the negotiations with Iran to return to the original JCPOA fail. Israel also brought up snapback sanctions to the E3, France, Germany, and the UK as a way to pressure Iran, but France and Germany were not open to the possibility. So nobody's open to anything with this, but they want to put through that same bad deal instead of doing what Trump had laid out, which had them down, as I've said many times, we read the article a year ago, down to $1 billion of reserves. And now, within just a short time after this guy in the White House, they're up to over $30 billion, and they're making billions every single week because these people do not want this to be effective. From the Washington Free Beacon, GOP slams Biden's decision to ignore mandate to disclose how Iran sanctions relief funds terrorism. The law says that he has to do this, and he won't do it. Congressional foreign policy leaders slammed the Biden admin's decision to not comply with a legal mandate to detail to Congress how sanctions relief for Iran will bolster the regime's ability to conduct terror attacks. In other words, they're talking about all these things going on with Iran. There is a provision in the law, which Biden signed, by the way, which says you must report how what we do with them will affect their ability to conduct terrorism. And he won't report on that. These guys just ignore the law continuously. They've been doing it at the southern border for months and months and months now, and nobody seems to do anything. The Republicans are trying, but they're not in the majority right now, so they're hamstrung. Republicans in Congress accused Biden of obstructing the legislative branch's constitutional oversight role. They say the admin does not want Congress to know how much money sanctions relief provides to Iran's terrorist allies as negotiations with Tehran over a revamped nuclear deal drag into another year. Biden thinks the rules don't apply to him. Of course he does. He's a Democrat. He thinks he can ignore a statute that mandates he tell Congress how much money he's sending to terrorists. Well, he'd better be ready in 2023. House conservatives will hold him accountable to the law. Biden, in a statement, said he would not fully obey a reporting provision included in the bipartisan spending bill that mandates the admin account for every dollar Iran receives as a result of lifted sanctions. The admin said providing that info would include highly sensitive classified info, which is what they always use for this type of thing, including info that could reveal critical intel sources or military operational plans. The strenuous reporting requirement written into the NDAA is one of the first of its kind and would have forced the admin to provide an unprecedented look into how easing of sanctions enriches Tehran's terrorist allies, such as Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthi rebels in Yemen. The noncompliance announcement comes as the Biden admin attempts to re-enter a nuclear deal with Iran using sanctions relief as a bargaining chip. The Biden admin waiver also applies to other NDAA provisions requiring a full accounting of the equipment and classified materials abandoned in Afghanistan. That's not asking too much, when the U.S. left the country last year, as well as a detailed report on joint U.S.-Taliban intel sharing operations. Representative Ronnie Jackson, a Republican from Texas, the primary author of the Iran reporting statute, told the Free Beacon that he and his colleagues will not allow the admin to obstruct congressional efforts to mandate transparency. Nobody is above the law, and the Biden admin must follow the NDAA that he just signed into law, Jackson said, adding that Biden is refusing to comply with the law that he himself signed. Nothing surprising there, but it's a dangerous thing they're doing, and it's costing people's lives. They don't care. Listen, they don't care at all. When they cut our monoclonal antibodies in Florida in half, when there are people that are dying or in need of them right now and they cannot be obtained. And this has nothing to do with anything except a dislike of Ron DeSantis. That's all this comes down to, is a dislike of the governor of the state of Florida. They want him out. They want to use this as a wedge against him during the elections and say, see, he's got all these COVID cases, all these people dying. It's his fault, when in fact it is their fault. Now, something interesting from Mongolia. From the Russia briefing, Russia, Mongolia to boost trade and economic ties. 2021 bilateral trade grew by 24%. Russia and Mongolia have adopted a declaration that sets clear targets in terms of boosting cooperation between the two countries. Putin announced following talks with his Mongolian counterpart, Kurultsukh. President Kurultsukh and I have adopted a joint political declaration as a follow-up to the treaty signed in 2019, Putin said. He specified that the document sets clear targets in terms of deepening bilateral ties in various fields of cooperation. Putin added that Russia and Mongolia had prepared and planned to sign a number of intergovernmental and interagency documents covering many areas of cooperation, including the economy and trade. America's over there, China's over there, Russia's over there. They all want that alliance with Mongolia. As unimportant as it seems, it is a very strategic location. It's got all kinds of resources. Everybody wants to be in Mongolia. Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? From The Independent. China switches on artificial sun that is 5 times hotter than the real thing. I reported on this before. They switched it on for about 10 seconds to see if it would work a while ago. They have now turned it on for much longer. A nuclear fusion reactor in China has set a new record for sustained high temperatures after running 5 times hotter than the sun for more than 17 minutes. And I'm trying to ask myself, because I'm not really smart, how can something that hot be contained? Yeah. Because it's in metal, it's in glass, it's in something. How is it contained? But they're doing it. I don't know. What's that? Magnetism, he says. Well, then they ought to send me over there because I'm magnetic. I would just... Hey! Okay, so the experimental advanced superconducting Tomahawk, known as an artificial sun, reached temperatures of 70 million Celsius during the experiments. The ultimate aim of developing the artificial sun device is to deliver near limitless clean energy by mimicking the natural reactions occurring within stars. The recent operation lays a solid scientific and experimental foundation towards the running of a fusion reactor. The East Project, which has already cost China more than 700 billion pounds, will run the experiment until June. Nuclear fusion has been touted as the holy grail of clean energy production. However, it remains a long way from being realized outside of a laboratory, despite decades of research into the technology. Replicating the physics of the actual sun, nuclear fusion reactors merge atomic nuclei in order to generate massive amounts of energy that can be turned into electricity. The process requires no fossil fuels and leaves behind no hazardous waste materials, unlike the nuclear fission process that powers commercial nuclear energy production. Now, if you ever watch Star Trek The Voyage Home, they talk about these type of things. They used nuclear fusion on their reactors, on the warp coils and all that kind of stuff. And of course, when dilithium crystals go bad, you can't regenerate them. But because they flew back in time, they still had fission reactors, which could redo the dilithium crystals so that they could make fusion once again and fly back into the future with their whale. If you haven't seen it, it's a great episode. Okay? So that's both of these are being talked about during that particular episode. It's one of the best episodes of all of them. Okay? If you haven't seen Star Trek, The Voyage Home with the original actors, be sure to watch it tonight, kids. Okay. Physicists also claim that there is a far less of a risk of an environmental disaster. China's reactor team will also provide technical support to another nuclear fusion reactor mega project currently being constructed in Marseille, France. So they're working on these things. Who knows what will happen? From the Epoch Times, Chinese researchers built AI prosecutor that can file charges by itself. They have a computer now that will charge you, find you guilty, and convict you and sentence you in China. Yes. Scientists in China said that they have developed a machine that relies on AI to charge offenders with crimes. So far, the machine is able to identify and file charges for the 8 most common crimes in Shanghai: credit card fraud, running a gambling operation, reckless driving, intentional injury, obstructing official duties, theft, fraud, and picking a quarrel. The researchers said that based on a written description of a case, the so-called AI prosecutor can file a charge with 97% accuracy. Professor Shi Yong, the project's lead scientist, said the AI technology could reduce the system. The system can replace prosecutors in the decision-making process to a certain extent. The system is able to evaluate the strength of evidence, conditions for an arrest, and how dangerous a suspect is considered to be to the public. The AI prosecutor could operate on a desktop for each suspect. It would press a charge based on 1,000 traits obtained from the human-generated case description text, most of which is too short or abstract to make sense to humans. System 206 would then assess the evidence. So they now have computers that are checking people out for... That is incredible. I got to tell you, that is very dangerous, and I can see where that is heading. Because eventually they're going to say, well... And I can admit it. Now, I got to be careful here because I got a couple lawyer friends, but it would be really nice to get rid of some of the lawyers in this world. So, sorry, I know, Chuck, you're sitting there right now screaming at me. I don't mean all lawyers, okay? Let's see here. There's a couple others. Eric, and there's probably a couple that are watching. I apologize to you in advance. I'm not talking about you guys. You're the good lawyers, okay? I'm talking about the other ones, the non-good lawyers. Okay, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the Book of Revelation prophesies of. Let's see how that's developing. From Newsmax, you talk about end times plagues. This is it. The beasts of the field and all, you know, listen to this. 4 dead, over 20 injured in piranha attacks in Paraguay this year. Yes. Okay, this is from the Superior Word News Service. The climate is anticipated to change throughout the day, every day throughout 2022. The climate is anticipated to get colder or hotter throughout the year, depending on which season we are in. Heavy rains can be anticipated in some areas, like this morning here in Sarasota, extended droughts in others. Heavy snowfall is anticipated when cold fronts push through various areas of the world at times. In the Middle East, Shirav winds can be expected from time to time. Summer temperatures will, for the most part, be hotter than the winter temperatures. Tides can be expected to rise, but they can also be expected to ebb at times. To see when and by how much, please consult the pre-calculated tide tables. Earthquakes should be expected in various locations. Volcanoes will erupt at times. Throughout the world, the sun will disappear from time to time from view for varying periods, depending on what latitude is the reference point. Likewise, the sun will appear to offset the periods of darkness that result from the disappearance of the sun. As these things are expected to occur, we can only assume that humans have been the cause of these events. In order to ensure the climate no longer changes in such extreme ways, It is of paramount importance that industrialized nations be punished for their overconsumption by transferring wealth to lesser privileged countries. Further, mass migration of people from those lesser privileged nations to the industrialized nations is not to be prohibited nor inhibited. From the Superior Word News. Okay, the state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Breitbart, poll, 75% of Americans agree that there are only two genders. 75% of bigots in this country. I am so surprised. From Breitbart. Yes, what about them? From Breitbart, Ivy League pledges unwavering commitment to trans swimmer Leah Thomas. From the Washington Examiner, Biden administration may instruct prisons to house transgender inmates without regard to biological sex. Well, let's see. It didn't work in the UK. It didn't work in Belgium. It didn't work in California, but we're going to mandate it by the federal government. The White House is considering a policy change that would instruct the Federal Bureau of Prisons to assign inmates to facilities based on their gender identity. The Federalist Report, which is based on leaked documents, cites a proposed executive action instructing the U.S. Attorney General to, within 30 days of the date of this order, begin the process of identifying any necessary changes to the Transgender Offender Manual to enable BOP to designate individuals to facilities in accordance with their gender identity. From Fox News, Western Carolina University subjects RAs to mandatory woke gender unicorn training. Yes, in one of the presentations, a slide warned students that they are denying the racial experience of another if they say, "When I look at you, I don't see color." So you can't say that anymore without being an offender. They're also told that referring to America as a melting pot can be deemed offensive and be interpreted as saying you should assimilate to the dominant culture. Well, if you're melting, as far as I understand the process of melting, everything becomes homogeneous. Is that correct? Am I missing something? Okay. In another class titled Rainbow 101, students are shown a picture of a gender unicorn outlining various gender identities and gender expressions, along with a video titled Human Sexuality is Complicated. One of the presenters, a black woman, said, can they say that? A black woman? I don't know. Said she was too afraid to stop her car in northern Georgia because she's black, which prompted a conversation with students about post-traumatic slave disorder. Okay, some other news from around the world, and as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word Sermons. Okay, from Breitbart, Democrats use dreaded filibuster to block Ted Cruz's bill sanctioning Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Now, they just have been trying to get rid of the filibuster, and after that, they're trying to use the filibuster to keep the Biden admin cozy with the Russians, okay? Everything they do is for the purpose of degrading this nation. That's all it is. They have nothing but ill intent for this nation. The filibuster requires 60 votes to end debate and move to a final vote, which meant that despite the 55-44 margin and the votes of five Democrats in favor, the bill could not advance. A win for Biden's approach to talks with Russia. No, it's a win for Biden to continue his communist agenda. That's all this is, okay? Biden allowed the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to proceed last year after shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline project in the U.S. to appease environmentalists, saying that the project was too close to completion to reverse. President Trump had sought to block Nord Stream 2 because it would have made Europe more dependent on Russia's natural gas, increasing Putin's leverage in the West and his ability to circumvent pipelines in the Ukraine. That's what Trump thought. And he was right, but they don't care about that because they want Russia to have predominance in the natural gas arena in the European Union. That's why they're doing this. Okay? Critics were livid at Democrats and the establishment media, which pushed the false Russia collusion conspiracy theory against Trump while ignoring Democrats' efforts to appease Russia, even as Putin has amassed troops on the border with Ukraine and threatened to invade. Biden is urging changes to the filibuster to pass Democrats' election overhaul bills, declaring that those who opposed him were on the wrong side of history and on the side of racism. So if you don't want them to pass through their Democrat-inspired voting bill, you are now a racist. Please know that. All of you, if you, anybody here vote Democrat? You're all racists. Okay, Gateway Pundit. Seattle police officers with their guns drawn allow driver of stolen vehicle to casually speed away because of city's woke Democrat policies. Okay, somebody got into somebody else's personal vehicle and started to drive away, and they couldn't do anything about it. This is what it's like living in a utopian Democrat paradise. According to the SPD, the incident stemmed from a call placed by a passerby who initially told dispatchers that there was a vehicle parked on the sidewalk with its engine running. Officers responded to the scene and, after making contact with the occupant of the car, discovered from the license plate that the vehicle had been reported stolen. Additional units were then summoned to assist in attempting to take the driver who was in possession of a stolen vehicle into custody. Video footage taken by Cairo, K-I-R-O, shows that a group of officers proceeded to surround the vehicle with their guns. You can watch it right on YouTube. Drawn before it fled, driving away on the sidewalk. He didn't even flee. He just went, a kid could have caught the thing. As to why the officers did not pursue the criminal, SPD cited the city pursuit policy that was implemented last year, saying it restricted them during this incident. SPD also noted that the situation would have been the same regardless of the new policy because Washington State's policies have been restricted for some time. From the Epic Times, Florida man with Antifa gear arrested after allegedly targeting January 6 rally. Law enforcement officers arrested Garrett Smith in Clearwater after spotting him sprinting away from the rally. Now, before I go on, has anybody heard this? Yeah. You did. A couple people have. Very few. Okay, very few have heard this. If this was a right-wing person, it would be on all the news all day, every day, 24 hours a day. They'll skip the commercials and take the profit loss, guaranteed. They found explosives in his backpack, fireworks in his nearby vehicle, and additional explosives at his home. Smith, 22, had recently traveled from Portland, Oregon, Lynn, there you go, a hotbed of Antifa activity. Smith was found with a direct action checklist, authorities said. Direct action is a term favored by members of Antifa. It refers to carrying out nefarious activities such as looting stores. The checklist contained the clothing Smith was wearing, all black with a black face covering, an ensemble Antifa members often don, as well as accessories like a black helmet, an armored black vest, knee guards, and a personal shield. The bottom of the listed gear, like a gas mask, smoke rockets, and flammable rags. The helmet Smith was wearing contained a logo that had been linked to Antifa, a far-left network that has repeatedly committed crimes in recent years. After deputies found the explosives, the sheriff's bomb squad was called in and determined the device in the backpack was active. This guy was going to go and blow up people at a January 6 rally supporting the Democratic principles of the United States of America, the free, loving people who are now all domestic terrorists. And this guy will get off with nothing. He'll get off scot-free. And he is a true domestic terrorist. Okay, from Just the News. Overwhelming majority of Americans say strict gun laws have failed to stop retail crime surge. No kidding. From Fox News. Austin's defunded police no longer have the staff to monitor sex offenders. From NTD, liberal bastion over there. From NTD, Border Patrol reports 1,066% increase in fentanyl seized in South Texas. 1,066% increase. From Fox News, VP Kamala Harris admits a level of malaise in the U.S. over COVID, and she gets compared to anybody? I mentioned this from time to time. I've mentioned it 50 times. Jimmy Carter. He did. Remember, Jimmy Carter did the malaise speech, and that was his downfall. That was the end of Jimmy Carter. And here she's repeating history. That's how stupid this woman is. Okay, Gateway Pundit. Fully vaccinated and boosted, Chicago Mayor Lori Beetlejuice Lightfoot tests positive for COVID. GOP video. White House refuses to condemn Iran Supreme Leader's video depicting drone strike on President Trump. You all heard about that, I imagine. Nobody? Okay. Iran published a video. They published, the government of Iran published a video depicting a drone strike on Donald Trump. They have pictures of him golfing at Mar-a-Lago, or however you pronounce that. And they have a one of those rifle sights on him, and they're going to blow him up. This is a threat against the president of the United States of America, and the White House has not denounced it. And yet, when that stupid video that that other congressman made of that crummy wench from New York, I don't want to say her name because she's so vile, everybody was upset about it. Everybody, the mainstream media, we've got to have this person ejected from Congress, and on and on and on. They've got a threat against the United States president by a foreign government, and they ignore it. From our Shiva, listen to this article. On way to cemetery, stillborn baby cries. Melek and Hassan Sirt received the most pleasant shock of their lives when their newborn baby, who they had been told was stillborn, began to cry right before he was to be buried. Doctors at Yagur State Hospital in Turkey told the couple that their child, who was born prematurely after the fifth month of pregnancy, had not survived the delivery. They even handed the distraught parents a body bag containing their child's body, along with a death certificate bearing the child's name. A grave was already dug for the child. The Sirts, who have two other children, took their child they thought they lost to the cemetery to bury him, only for him to begin crying before they reached the cemetery. They opened the bag and found their son crying and moving. They immediately rushed back to the hospital where the baby is currently fighting for his life in the intensive care unit. That's the hand of God. Amen. We'll hope that they know Jesus, and if they don't, we hope that they will learn who he is and teach that little baby about the Lord who spared her. Okay, I've got a dual Lesrick here for you today. We're a little long, but I'm going to read it anyway. The weather will be cold or hot, no matter what weather you have got. Do people control where clouds boil and roll? It changes, so weather or not, W-H-E-T-H-E, okay? The tides, they will ebb, they will flow, and the temperatures move to and fro. Earth will readily quake, God will do shake and bake. In a word, things are still status quo. Okay, who said it? I hope we once again have reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts. Who? Ronald Reagan. Who you? Okay, Ronald Reagan. We have a bit of irony for you, and then we'll be done. Zero Hedge, top lawyer arguing against Biden vax mandates before SCOTUS, has COVID despite being boosted. Good job. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report of the week.